Did you press record?
I am recording.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. So I guess I can start at any time.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's John chapter 14, verse 26.
This is the Essential Bible Studies podcast. My name's Jay Mayock.
And my name's Tim Young.
Hey, Tim.
Jay, this is the verse I was telling you about in the last podcast.
This is the one. It's the only context in all of Scripture that uses a particular gender to describe the Holy Spirit, which implies personality.
Yep.
And that opens up an interesting conversation that we're continuing from our initial podcast, which was on the Father, the Son, and in particular, the Holy Spirit. So what is this really all about? Like, where do you go from here?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time saying it's not personal.
Yes.
It's just the power of God.
Yeah.
It's the presence of God. It's his word going forth, all of these kind of things. So why do we all of a sudden have a passage? Well, maybe all of a sudden, but here's this passage that really is very distinctive. It says,
yes.
This Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. And it's got to fit with what we've talked about before.
Well, we're getting into grammar here again. I know some of you don't like grammar, but
turn the volume up. You're having a hard time staying awake. It will.
And we have to be very careful here, right? Because
yes.
I'm used to English. Greek has its own grammar set of rules.
Yep.
And there are genders to nouns. Now, in the majority of the cases, the vast majority of cases in the Bible, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is in the neuter gender.
Okay.
Which so means it doesn't have a gender.
Okay.
It's an it.
Right.
Right. But sometimes our translators are, I know they're not that helpful to us. They'll put a he or a who in there in some verses where they think it should have a personality.
Okay.
So it can kind of trip us up a little bit.
Right.
But this one passage here, or this series of passages in John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, these definitely have a male neuter because they're referring to the helper or the comforter or the advocate.
Yeah, a male gender, you're saying.
A male gender.
Right, okay.
But this is the weird thing about languages is in the Hebrew, you know what gender the spirit is?
I think it's a feminine gender, is that right?
It is.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't really make too much of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really no gender associated with God and the Spirit. It's just a function of language. So in the Latin, their word for spirit is in the male neuter.
Okay.
And you can go in all these different languages and just how they assign these pronouns is different. It's really not bound to that either. The argument is that in other passages of the Bible, you can lie to the Spirit.
Right, that's right.
In Acts 5, verse 3, the spirit can be resisted. In Acts 7, verse 51, it can be grieved.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. So we want to talk about some of these, and specifically this very special case of what Jesus talks about being the helper, the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14. Maybe you could give us a little bit more understanding. We don't want to read all three chapters here.
Right. Well, like you say, it's three chapters here, and it's only spoken about by John. And actually, really, right, starting in
it's
John.
It's not in the other Gospels.
It's not. No, starting in John chapter 13 all the way through John chapter 18, it's really the last night of Jesus' life, right before he's crucified. So this is a special section in between John 14 to 16, and it's part of that very intimate discourse that Jesus had with his disciples after the Last Supper.
So specifically with the 12?
Specifically with the 11 at this particular point.
Oh, right. Because, good point.
Yeah, Judas, he had gone. And it was at that particular point, actually, that the Last Supper, the bread and the wine were memorialized. And then this talk about the Comforter comes forward. And it's really important to think that it would only be these particular 11 at that time, because the work of this Comforter, Judas, was not to have a part in.
Yeah.
So in that verse that we read, our key verse, it describes the Holy Spirit, it says, as the helper. That's what it says in the ESV. The New King James has that. The New American Standard Bible has that. The King James has comforter.
Yeah. That's what I have on my bed.
I have a
comforter.
Oh, comforter. Well, actually, since moving to Canada, we have a duvet now. We got rid of the comforter. And it's also translated advocate in the NIV and the NET and the NLT for advocate there. And advocate's kind of, it's part of that legal family of words, right? Where you have someone who pleads on your behalf, who argues your case.
Yes, before the judge.
Before the judge. So those are kind of the ideas that are connected together there with that word, the helper.
I think the other translations don't want to have it that cold legal sense.
Yeah.
So they use this term, the helper.
Yeah, helper, which is great. I like comforter. Helper is fantastic too, but it's all part of that same family of words that has to do with consolation and comfort and help. So really help is very appropriate too. So Jesus is promising that when he would leave, he was going to provide his disciples with help for the work that they would continue on in his name. And to help with that work, he was going to give them a helper.
Right, right. So if we want to look like the first place, our key verse is not the first place where it's actually mentioned. They're all in just these chapters though.
That's right, yeah.
So the first one is John 14 verses 15 through 18.
Yes, we should read them because we've got a couple of them right here. So starting at verse 15, he says to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." He says in verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So through this helper, Jesus would also be coming to them.
Yeah,
as
that's
well.
Curious, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Because
he
says earlier, he says, "I'm leaving. I'm going away."
Yep.
But then he says, "I'm sending something else to help you. But then I will come to you."
Yes.
He
says, and it will be me, but
yeah,
I will be going away. And in verse 26, there's our verse. "The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." So this helper is coming in the name of Jesus.
From the Father.
From the Father, in the name of Jesus, would the Comforter come to the disciples. So clearly there's going to be a working together here. This is a helper who's helping on behalf of Jesus and coming from the Father. So in chapter 15, at verse 26, we have another occurrence of this promise here. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." So here, remember in the last passage, it says the Father's going to send him in my name. And here, Jesus says, "I'm going to send him." Mm-hmm. So there's a cooperation here. There's a working together here.
Mm.
There's a one mind here concerning the work of the helper who had come to the disciples to help with the work that was before them. And in chapter 16 as well, at verse 7, we have another explanation here, an expansion. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." And then in verse 13 as well, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are come." So, a lot of ideas that are coming together here. And really, if we can think about what the big picture is that the Father and the Son and the Helper are all working together. When the Son would ascend to the Father, when he would go away, him, Jesus, and the Father would send this Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be with them, to bring into remembrance all things that they would need to preach to those around them, and to be sustained and helped in that work that they were to do for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And it was advantageous to them that Jesus does go away so that this work could continue on through the helper.
So here's the challenge. It's spoken of as a he, as him who will come. It's very personal.
Yeah, it is.
So that seems to strengthen the case for the idea of the Trinity, where the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
Right. Let's just throw another aspect in here, because we haven't really talked about the work of the angels. Now, you and I have talked a lot about that.
That's
we had
right.
a whole podcast last
right.
season about the work of the angels. But consider this. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" Now, angels here are called ministering spirits.
That's right.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you don't let the chapter break it in your way there, you see that they actually, in the Old Testament, brought the word of God.
That's right.
During the days of the Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take heed to the word of the angels because it was the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back to John chapter 14 and verse 16, in the very first place that Jesus mentions this, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." It's a spirit, right?
Right.
Is it an angel? Has this ever happened before? Because he says, "I will give you another helper." Now, that's interesting. Why does he say another helper?
Yeah.
I mean, he could be referring to himself mm-hmm. as having been a helper, and
yeah.
he's actually called an advocate or a helper later on in the epistles.
That's right.
Is there a time in the Old Testament, this is what we'd like to do on the podcast, we think, yeah. is there an echo here to the Old Testament, like it says there in Hebrews, that they ministered during the days of the Exodus? And there is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you turn back to Exodus chapter 23, this is another passage we've brought up a lot during the podcast. It just seems to be so key to our understanding about yeah. how God manifests himself.
Yeah.
through angels. Now, as we read through all those passages in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, consider this when we read Exodus 23 and verse 20. This is God talking to Moses. He says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared."
Mm-hmm.
So God's saying, "I'm going to send an angel before you, and he's going to guard you." It's very similar to being a helper or
yeah.
a comforter or an advocate. He is there to protect them. To what purpose? To bring them to the place that I prepared.
Yeah.
Now, that's how Jesus started his whole discourse.
In this very section that we're talking about.
In John chapter 14,
yeah.
he says, "I go to prepare a place for you."
Wow.
You see the connection?
Absolutely.
You start getting all these echoes. It's not the only thing. You got to read through all of those chapters in John and start pulling these all together.
So what was this place that's being spoken about here, do you think?
Well, this place here is the Promised Land, isn't
yes.
it? God
right.
was going to go before the children of Israel to prepare that place for them. He had already spied it out. They didn't right. need to send spies.
Right.
Right? He had already gone to prepare that place.
Mm-hmm.
What's the place that Jesus is talking about? I guess that's the more interesting question,
isn't
exactly
it? That's exactly right, yeah. Well, it was another place that was promised where God would dwell with his people.
Right.
And he was revealing that he was going to be, really the key is there in John chapter 14
yes.
and 15 and 16, that God was going to be with them by being in them.
Yes. Now that you mention it, let's just
yeah.
let's just look at that too. Where is that where it says that?
Let's see.
It's in verse 23, isn't it?
That's one of the
spots.
It's
in John 14, verse 23.
Yep. You'll find it there at the end of verse 17 as well.
Oh, the dwelling in you. Yeah. I wanted to bring out chapter 14, verse 23, because Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word."
Right.
"And my Father will love him, and we will come to him."
That's right.
"And make our home with him." So that place of preparation
mm-hmm.
is then this spiritual temple idea of the dwelling place of God, right?
Yeah.
In the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. So there's parallels here because in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel first coming out of Egypt at Sinai, they're first being established as a nation, God's preparing the way for them.
And through the angels that are the ministering spirits who were delivering the word to them and guarding them and keeping them.
Yep. They were the ministering spirits.
Right.
Okay, this is back in Exodus 23, verse 21 now. He says to them, pay careful attention to him. Who's the him? It's the angel.
Yeah.
Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. So this is the name-bearing angel. God has given him a special place, one angel who has that name. Same thing that Jesus says about this helper. In John 14, verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Mm-hmm. So again, just as in Exodus, there's this back and forth about the pronouns.
Right.
In Exodus, in verse 22, it says, but if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, it's the same here in John, isn't it?
Right.
You're going to hear this voice. It's going to be the voice of the helper, but it's everything that I say.
Right. So really, the reason why there's that interchange in the pronouns is to make the point that that angel was doing the work of Yahweh, the Father himself.
Yes. The angel means messenger, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no, it fits perfectly. It really does. And it's not just Exodus that describes the events of the Exodus like that. If we come into the prophets, you know, one of the most interesting things about the Old Testament and all of Scripture, but the Old Testament in particular, when we read the prophets tend to give us additional insight about what happened back during major moments in the history of Israel, like the Exodus. It's a great example. If you want to find out what happens in the Exodus, have a look at some Psalms that talk about it. You get all these extra details. And here in Isaiah chapter 63, we get some extra details about the work of God through the angel who you've just read about in Exodus chapter 23. So speaking about this exact time in history, Isaiah 63 verse 9 says that in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And I think what's being spoken about here, and I think it's borne out by the context, is that the children of Israel were suffering in Egypt.
Yeah.
And God says that, I have surely seen your suffering, and I am come down to deliver you, he says.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, did the God of heaven leave his throne in heaven to come back down to the earth? Or is it what's described here in the next part of Isaiah? In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God did. He sent his angels to minister among them, and in particular, a name-bearing angel who had even more authority, who was there before them in the cloud, as we read in Exodus chapter 14, the angel of the Lord, actually right there with them, leading them through the Red Sea and continuing with them through the wilderness. It says, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old.
I'm getting the sense of a helper, of a comforter.
That's exactly, I mean, that is help right there. But they rebelled.
Mm.
They rebelled in the wilderness. And that was the warning before they start wandering in Exodus chapter 23, was that you have to obey his voice.
Yeah, do not rebel.
My name is in him, or else he'll turn and do you hurt.
Yeah.
But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And that was the angel that was right there. We talked about the ministering spirits.
Yes.
And now we have a particular one here, this name-bearing angel described in verse 9 as the angel of his presence, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and fought against them. And that's exactly what happened when an entire generation of military-aged men fell in the wilderness.
Right.
20 and above, right?
Can I make a point here, too? Because it says in verse 9, it says it's the angel of his presence.
Yeah.
That's an interesting title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because in our last podcast where you and I talked about the Spirit of God, you can relate his presence with his spirit.
Right.
They're often used interchangeably as well. You can't flee from God's presence. There's nowhere you can go where his spirit is not there, right? But here is the angel of his presence.
Yes.
And then in the next verse, it says they grieved his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They're interchangeable ideas yes. there, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very descriptive and it's very personal because this yeah. is a personal angel
yeah.
that was there representing God, working on God's behalf, helping the people.
Yep.
And that's the pattern here as God was preparing a place for them ahead of them.
So that's helpful in this aspect of why is it personified that way? Because if it is an angel, it does have feelings. But here you have God who is a spirit. And an angel who is a ministering spirit, and God is using his spirit to work through them to send forth his spirit. It's right. his will. It's his plan. It's his purpose yeah. being done through that angel. They're all one in the same. And now you bring the Lord Jesus Christ into the picture, who was, it's said in Hebrews, he was made a little lower than the angels, but now he's been crowned with glory
right.
and power and majesty and been made so much better than the angels.
Yep.
Christ now actually, it says, has been given all authority and power over the angels.
Yeah.
Now, specifically, a really good verse in this regard is found in 1 Peter mm-hmm. chapter 3 and verse 22, where Peter says that Jesus has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him.
Mm-hmm.
So now the angels are at the bidding of yeah. the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what he's expecting. He has to ascend to the Father to be able to be given that authority.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about in John. Once I go, then I can send
yeah.
the Comforter,
yes.
this angel. Another one, just as it was in the Exodus, now in this kind of new Exodus. I'm going to send this same power, the same angel to help you
yeah.
to bring you in the way.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly right. That's the way that God had orchestrated this. I mean, Jesus did have authority, would you say, over the angels in a certain way. Remember, he did say at that time,
yeah.
even in the days of his flesh, I could call down 12 legions of angels.
Yes,
but right. the kind of authority that you're talking about here is something that could only happen and was only given to Jesus when he was resurrected. And what he's describing in John chapter 14, this giving of the Comforter and the continuing of the rest of the work could only happen when he ascended. That's exactly what he clearly says.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds you of that verse at the end of Matthew that we talked about in the last podcast as well,
yeah.
right? Where Jesus says, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen,
yeah.
if you've got the authority in heaven, you've got the angels.
Yeah.
Oh, under
yeah.
your control, at your command.
Yeah.
So it's definitely what he's speaking about right here. But I guess the question is, if this is really true, do we have evidence then, like we have evidence in the Old Testament, of the angel of the presence of God working with the children of Israel? Do we have that kind of evidence in the New Testament?
It sounds like you got something up your sleeve there, Jay.
So I think this is one of my absolute favorite verses because of how clear it is and how well it fits into this wonderful teaching of the Comforter.
Okay, where are you going?
This is in, I should tell you, shouldn't
yeah.
I? It's in, I'm flipping my pages over here. It's in the book of Revelation. It's at the very beginning of the book
okay.
of Revelation. Now,
yeah.
in keeping with what you were saying, which totally fits, Jesus could not receive what he was going to receive from God, all this authority, ultimately, until he ascended. Because when he got to heaven, he would be able to commune with his Father. At the right hand of God, there's fullness of joy forevermore, it says in the Psalms, right? And in Revelation chapter 1, in communing with his Father, it says at verse 1, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John.
Yeah.
It didn't have to happen that way, but God had revealed it would happen that way, that Jesus would be working through his angel and all the other angels who were under his commission at the time of his resurrection and his ascension to heaven to prepare a place for them, to prepare the disciples for the work that was going to happen, and also to deliver this last prophecy from God himself to the Son, to his angel, to John, into our pages right now that we're reading right now.
That is fantastic. Yeah, you can see it. God to Jesus, to Jesus to the angel to John.
Yeah.
Just that whole message going forth there. And so, Jay, check this out. That passage in Revelation that you're talking about,
yeah,
it's actually back in John. It's in John chapter 16 and verse 13.
Come on.
Look at this. This is one you already read, right?
Yeah.
Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. How about that?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's killer. Yeah, the things to come. And that angel would not have received that commission to go and to tell the disciples that stuff until Jesus got to heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
So all of the revelation, but it's just not revelation, is it?
I mean,
he's talking about everything, that this angel would be there to guide them into all the truth, to bring them into remembrance about all things.
Right.
When you're reading through the Acts, this is really interesting. There are moments where there's an angel and then there's a spirit.
Right.
They're one and the same thing. And let me give you an example of this. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now, this is Philip. And so he had been preaching to the Samaritans and he just happens to be traveling along the road, right? And in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes toward from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" So he rises and he's traveling, and there's this Ethiopian eunuch along the way. Philip had no idea he was there, but this eunuch just happens to be reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the angel knows he's there. He knows what he's reading, and he's guiding Philip. This angel is. But look what it says in verse 29. It says, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot,'" where the Ethiopian is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So they're used interchangeably. Verse 26, an angel of the Lord. In verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip.
Yeah.
It's the angel talking to Philip.
Right.
Saying, "Go over here," directing him.
Yeah, that just fits totally perfectly with what we've seen in the Old Testament. It fits the pattern, right?
Yeah.
Just like here, you've got an angel in a desert place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay, I mean, yeah.
That's exactly what you have right here.
Right. So maybe we'll just wrap up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of opens up, again, another avenue to look at these things. Now, are we saying that everywhere you read the word spirit, it's an angel?
I don't think at all.
We're not saying that. We started off by saying the spirit is a very difficult word used in a lot of different ways throughout scripture. Right. So we've seen it's used of the presence of God. It's used of the power of God.
Right.
It's used of the word of God. Yep. It's analogous to his word, his truth.
It's not always an individual.
It's not always an individual. We've seen in our podcasts how man has a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can have different types of attitudes which relate to spirits and those kind of things. But we also see it relating to angels as well. So we just have to look at the context.
Context, yeah.
Look at clues that are in the Bible, the echoes that relate this to us.
And how the Bible as well has already revealed itself in the patterns of the Old Testament too.
Yeah, yeah. So this one place in John, I think, really opens up to me and really explains a lot about why Jesus personifies it in that place. Because in that place, he is talking specifically about an angel.
His angel.
Exactly.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
That was a good one.
Fantastic.
Appreciate it.
Jay and I pray that this has been helpful for you. We would especially wish for you to go back and read the passages that we talked about, test it out, meditate on it, and prove it for yourself. If you like the podcast and have some questions or insights you'd like to share, then why don't you join us on Zoom? Get together with others who love studying and discussing the scriptures. This online Zoom session happens every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to our website at www.essentialbiblestudies.org, where you can get a link to join. Next week, we're going to be seeing what the Bible says about mental health matters when it comes to worry, stress, and depression. It's entitled Overcoming Anxiety. My guest will be Joel Suntz. You won't want to miss it, whether you suffer from anxiety in some way or you know somebody who does. As always, look out for us on Facebook, Instagram, or X, and share it in your own posts and stories so others can discover it as well. This is a Christadelphian podcast supported by the Book Road Christadelphians in the quaint and endearing location of Ancaster, Ontario, Canada. Until we meet again, dear friends, I pray to God that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.